For many people listening out there, our next guest barely needs an introduction. He's a successful fashion designer and now one of the Emmy Award-winning Fab Five on Netflix's Queer Eye.
You'll often find me sporting a French tuck. Now, French tuck is simple. All you have to do is tuck in the front of your shirt into your pants. It's going to balance your proportions and help you look taller and leaner.
That's right. Tan France, master of the French tuck. He joins us now in studio. He's in town for a sold-out Harvard Bookstore event on his new memoir, Naturally Tan. Tan France, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So well.
Thank
I'm
you
in
for
Boston.
Doing this. What do you think of Boston?
It's, okay, so I visited here a month ago. It's gorgeous. Gorgeous. It looks quite English, weirdly.
Well, it's New England.
Oh my gosh, is that the state?
No, it's
Boston
the region.
Is the sta- okay.
It's in Massachusetts,
oh.
Part of New England.
Okay.
But that's why we call
really
it New England.
I don't know my American geography, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I just want to remind our listeners that we're streaming this conversation on Facebook Live. There's a link at our website, radioboston.org. And we actually want to invite you into the conversation with Tan France. Do you have fashion questions that you've just been itching to have answered? Do you maybe disagree with Tan on things like Crocs or other fashion do or don'ts? Give us a call. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or you can send us a tweet. We're at Radio Boston. So, okay, we'd heard about the French tuck there at the top.
Yes.
And I'm just not sure if I'm a convert yet, but a lot of people are. GQ said that Google searches for the French tuck spiked after the new Queer Eye second season came out.
Yeah.
Are you seeing more of them out in the world? How does that make
Everywhere.
You feel to be like a force behind that?
It's bizarre. So here's the thing. The French tuck was around way before I was, but it does feel weird to know that people are doing it because I've encouraged them to do it. It's weird to think somebody's doing anything because I've encouraged them to do it, let alone people all over the world are doing the French tuck. No matter where I go, no matter what country I go to, that's the first thing people want to show me when they see me in real life.
And I mean, full disclosure, I'm a little full-figured, and so the idea of a French tuck kind of doesn't sit well with me.
See, I have to disagree. I think it works on anyone.
So I should try it?
I think you should.
Okay. So you wrote this fascinating book, Naturally Tan.
Yes.
And in it, you write about your parents having dreams for you to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Yes.
And you know, as a fellow child of immigrants, I can relate to that. So
yeah.
How did you come to fashion and clothing?
Well, my granddad owned a factory that created denim for Disney, and I learned to sew at a very young age. I wasn't working there, just to clarify. I would go and visit because I loved being there. The space was fantastic, and I learned to sew. And then when I decided on what career path I wanted to take, fashion was the only option for me. However, because that wasn't really a thing in my community, I found a way to make sure that I could do it without being scolded for it. So I just didn't tell them. I decided to go to fashion college, and they thought that I was going to college for psychology until my graduation.
So the answer is to lie.
Yeah. You know, sometimes lying is the way.
So tell me about the first piece of clothing that you connected with, that you loved.
The first piece of clothing was a piece of clothing that I actually didn't own and that never existed. But it was a piece of clothing that I remember very distinctly. I wanted more than anything in the world. You know when you were six, or remember when you were like six, seven, eight, whatever, you wanted like toys for your birthday. What toy did you want for your birthday? Just do you remember roughly?
Honestly.
Like Cabbage Patch Kids?
No, I wanted one of those Super Soaker things.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That's the kind of thing that a 6 or 7 year old wants.
Yeah.
I did not want that.
What did you want?
I wanted a custom-made black silk shirt. And I was obsessed with that. And I asked for it for my birthday for many years, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I never got it. So that's the first time I really remember thinking, clothes are clearly very significant to me if that's what I'm asking for my birthday.
So we have a couple of calls here before we get to the next part of our conversation. So I want to see if we can squeeze in a few callers here. Andrea is calling from the Back Bay. Andrea, what's your question for Tan France?
Hi, Tan.
Hello.
Love you and your show. You guys are great.
Thank you.
My question for you is, a lot of the times, especially the French tuck, when it comes to men, sometimes make it look like the back of their shirt has come untucked.
Ah.
So do you have any tips on how to make it look like you didn't start with your shirt tucked in and like you just look sloppy?
I mean, I'm hoping that the people... So there is another piece of advice I give, and I think it's season two, maybe it's actually season three. I get my seasons mixed up, where I do tell people of America to invest in an iron and actually iron everything. It seems to be very common. Almost every one of my friends refuses to iron clothes. And so if they start out ironed, the back should still be relatively well-pressed. And so it should be quite obvious that it was never fully tucked. Let's hope so. And then also, don't go for something super, super long. Go for something that is the correct size and length for you, and then hopefully it won't look so sloppy.
Oh, so it won't hang down super long.
Yes.
One more question here from Rocco in West Boylston. Rocco, you're on Radio Boston.
Hey there. Thanks for taking the call. So I just got this new job very high up in an organization, a school district, but I hate wearing ties. And so, you know, that's like the thing that people have to do, and I'm wondering if there are options, you know, besides your traditional suit with a tie that can be done these days to still look professional, still be respected, but not to be choked out every day.
Yes. First off, congratulations, Rocco. That's wonderful that you have a new job. And as far as your wardrobe goes, I don't think you need a tie these days to show your position. I think that you can wear a suit with a polo shirt underneath, or even a t-shirt, as long as it's something simple and classic and crisp and clean. And so I would say go without the tie. It's very, very rare I wear a tie, but I will go to a red carpet event, which is the most formal thing you'll go to, and I go without a tie. So maybe try a shirt buttoned up all the way without a tie. But if that's still feeling like it's choking you, I would try a polo or a Mandarin collar shirt or even a t-shirt on every now and then with a suit.
That's Tan France of Queer Eye. He's joining us here in studio. And if you have a question for him, our phone number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Tan, I'd like to play a clip from season one, where you did a makeover of a man named Corey Waldrop in Georgia. He's a veteran, NASCAR fan, Trump supporter. And so perhaps just about the opposite of you.
No, that describes me perfectly.
And you had a touching moment where you were going through his closet with him and found a lot of his dad's clothes. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to that.
Why is it that you keep your dad's clothing in here?
I guess that's the way that I still connect with him. He loved my mom. He loved us.
Mm-hmm.
And just didn't get much better than him.
Mm-hmm.
Just an all-around great guy.
Can I give you a hug? Oh, I'm sorry, mate.
It's a very touching moment. Mm-hmm. What was going through your head in that moment?
That was only the second episode we ever filmed, so it was my second week on set. What was going through my head was, I can't believe how vulnerable this man is willing to be with a complete stranger. That was the first hour that I met him, and he was willing to be so open with me, and I just thought, wow, what we're going to go through over the next few weeks as we film the show is going to be so impactful on my life. Hopefully theirs too, but I just thought this is going to make me feel compassion like I've never known before.
Well, and that's sort of one of the central themes of the show, right? This idea of overcoming differences, showing that a gay British man of South Asian descent can have an intimate moment with a Trump voter in his closet.
Yeah.
Is that difficult?
No. I think for many it would be, but I am a South Asian man in what I was in England. I now live in the US, so now I'm an immigrant. Believe me, I've had a lifetime of training when it comes to people being somewhat negative towards me. And so I know how to combat that. I know how to approach that. I lead with kindness and tolerance and accept any question, no matter how disrespectful they may seem. I will accept those questions and answer them. I was trained my whole life for this.
Well, and you actually write about that in the book very beautifully, about some of the incredibly racist way that people have treated you growing up and now, and the slurs and harassment, and especially after 9/11, the fact that you are routinely pulled aside in the airport for questioning.
Mm-hmm.
How have you come to terms with all of that, or have you?
I have. It's all I've ever known. If that was all you ever knew. You'd find a way to accept it and move on. It's not great, and now I'm in a position to be able to call that behavior out. But it's something I found a way to reconcile. And so what I do is I understand how it makes me feel, and I know that I don't want anyone else to feel that way. So I speak out about it, and I will against it, and I will speak to the people who are throwing those assaults at me, that abuse at me, and ask them why they feel it's okay, what they think that I've done that would warrant such a reaction. It's a very uncomfortable conversation, and I don't think they're ever expecting me to confront them that way. I think they're used to people swearing at them. I know that that doesn't achieve anything, so I'd rather just say, I know that you think that the most common thing used to be, we pay for you to live. Like, my taxes pay for you. My reaction was always...
What does that even mean?
Well, because I was in their country. Air quotes. You're here as an immigrant, and so therefore you must be taking advantage of our system. No, I had a job. My parents were in that country. They had many jobs to make sure that we were providing...
Well, and you say in the book very strongly, this is my country.
This is my country. I was born and raised in that country. And the Brits colonized our country, and then I had therefore a right to be in the UK. And so when people are throwing that abuse at me, I very calmly give a rebuttal.
And I just want to remind our listeners, if you want to join us, our phone number is 1-800-423-8255 if you have any fashion questions for Tan France. Tan, I also want to ask you about another thing you wrote in the book, it's in a couple of places, but... Early on, you say you don't want to be asked by interviewers about religion, and that it's a very personal thing for you. Mm. But then later on, you write about how important your representation is on TV, mm-hmm. and that you, quote, hope that there comes a time when there is no need to talk about being queer or gay or Muslim. And so I guess my question, I was thinking this while reading, if we're not in that place where there's no need to talk about it, then why not talk about it?
Let me explain. In my opinion, there's no reason to talk about it. And I've been thinking about this a lot over the last few days. There's no real reason for me to break down who I am or what my community is all about. I think just by being visible, people know that I'm South Asian. You can see it. People now know that I'm Muslim. I've spoken about it enough, or just mentioned it enough. There's no reason to speak out more about it other than to just be. When you are a white man, I can't imagine that in any interview they'd say, hey, so you're white, tell me about how that feels. There's no, you just are, you represent by just being. And that's how I feel about who I am at this point. I don't talk about the ins and outs of being gay anymore, really, other than I'm gay. I'm brown.
It just is.
It just is. That is just so.
But you also write in the book about growing up, you yearned to see people mm-hmm. like you reflected on television.
Yeah.
And now you're that person, yeah. perhaps for thousands or millions of yeah. people around the world. I mean,
and that's,
is that a heavy responsibility?
It is. It really is. But the way I do it now in particular is just by being on the show. I don't talk about religion. On the show, I don't talk about my upbringing. I just am there. I am doing the same job as everybody else. And I love that it's just normalizing who we are, what we do. We are just the same as everybody else. I'm on a show that's a makeover show, that's a make better show, that was helping human connection. And so I don't belabor any of those points. It comes up in conversation because it's an important part of me, but that's not the only part of me. My sexuality, my religion, they're all secondary. First and foremost, I am a person, and I'm equal to my peers on the show. And so that's how I feel about my responsibility. Yes, I feel a responsibility to represent my community well, and therefore I try and make sure that I'm being the best version of myself that I can be, and that is how I'd represent.
You also write in the book about skin tone, color, yeah. race, and how at one point in your life you tried bleaching your skin. And I want to ask you about that. I mean, were you ashamed of who you were, or how did you become more comfortable in your own skin?
No, I want to make this really clear. It wasn't that I was ashamed of who I was. I was ashamed of myself that I tried bleaching my skin.
Yeah.
I I tried bleaching my skin because in my culture and in many cultures, especially in the Middle East, in South Asia, in Far East Asia, they are encouraged to be as light as physically possible because the lighter you are, the more successful you will be, the more successful marriage you will, partner you will get for a successful marriage. It is ever present in our community. The fairer the skin, the more successful you will be. And I'd known that from the time I was born. And so that I succumbed to the pressure. And that's what I'm ashamed of. And now I feel relief that I did it for a few days. It hurt. No desire to ever do it again. And now I'm in a position where, thank God, I love my colour. And I encourage people very often on my Instagram to embrace their colour. If they're beautifully brown, they are beautifully brown.
Well, thank you for talking about those difficult issues with us
no
here.
Worries.
I want to, again, try and invite in some of our listeners, if that's
sure,
okay with you.
Let's
go to Rebecca. She's calling from New Hampshire. Rebecca, you're on Radio Boston with Tan France.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm a huge fan, so
thank
happy
you.
To talk to you.
Thanks, Rebecca.
So my question is about how do you approach people without making it sound as though it's critiquing? I've noticed on the show that you guys do such a fantastic job of taking someone where they are and helping them really accept themselves through their appearance. Mm-hmm. And so if there's someone that you know that you would like to give a suggestion to, but you want it to be out of a place of love and not criticism, how do you do that?
First and foremost, for me, it's in my tone. Okay, I will say this. I have the luxury of an English accent in America, and you guys afford me a bit of wiggle room like you don't afford each other, which is very good for me. But what I will say is I've done this with my partner. There are things that definitely weren't working for him, and so I would make it very clear simply by doing this. I highlight the things that are great, and I talk about how wonderful they are. The things that aren't great, I don't mention those things, and then hopefully they'll get the gist that maybe he's not responding so well to this thing that I'm trying on today. But if that's still not working, I will say, look, you have so many wonderful options in your wardrobe that make you feel great about yourself. This is one of those things that definitely doesn't make you feel good, and people aren't responding well to it. Maybe avoid that item and go for the better things in your wardrobe. In my opinion, it's all about your tone and your delivery. And if it's coming from a good place, hopefully it will be received as such.
Well, so Bob is calling from his car on the Mass Pike, and he has a question about his wardrobe. Bob, you're on Radio Boston.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for doing the show today.
Thank you so much.
Here's my deal. I just turned 60, and I've spent a lot of years neglecting both myself and my wardrobe, and thanks to doing ayahuasca work and a whole bunch of other things, I'm a new me, and I'm wanting to pay more attention to my wardrobe.
Yes.
And I don't cut the same figure I did when I used to care.
Yes.
So I have no idea where to start. I mean, I was kind of like a Brooks Brothers kind of guy, and I don't know. That feels dated and old-fashioned. Don't know where to go.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob. And hey, I'm a Brooks Brothers kind of guy. I don't know. Help us out.
Okay. Bob, I actually love the question. Thank you so much for that. My response is this. I don't know if you're on social media. If not, no problem. I would suggest that you look for somebody that you see in the media that you think they're a well-dressed person, they're of a similar age, they have a life that I think I can connect with. So find that one person in the public eye that you think, I would like to look more like that guy. Yes, I know that people in the media usually have a great budget for that kind of stuff, but there are always cheaper, more accessible versions of what famous people are wearing. So I would, if I were you, I would Google, let's say, for example, it's George Clooney. George Clooney's style. Find a bunch of pictures online, and when you go shopping, think, would George Clooney buy this or would he not? Would he wear this or would he not? And then use that as a jumping off point. Also, store assistants are there for a reason. They know the product better than you will ever know. Use your resources. So go in with a plan. I want to look more like George Clooney. He wears this kind of jean. He wears this kind of shirt. He wears this kind of suit. And then ask the store assistants, hey, have you got anything that might look like this? And they will hopefully offer you some wonderful advice.
Even on a budget.
Even on a budget. Of course on a budget. Yes.
So I want to ask you about another thing I noticed in the book. And I'm sorry if I might push your buttons here.
Go.
But, okay. So there are multiple places in the memoir where you write about folks who hurt you, who wronged you, who were mean to you when you were a kid, or said mean things to you in your DMs. And each time you kind of have a strong reaction back at them, deleting their Facebook requests. And I will never, basically calling them out.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm wondering why it was important for you to include those anecdotes in your memoir.
Because
are you still hurting? Do you want to talk it out?
No, I don't, I'm not still hurting. The reason why I included that is because I want people to see that I am still very much a person. If I went on the show, if you went on the show and you had people from your old life who were wanting to be part of your life because you had just, let's say, for example, you won the lottery. They wanted to be a part of your life because
dream
you
about it every day.
Lovely, right? Yeah. They wanted to be a part of your life. Would you really respond well to that? No, you'd be like, no, the reason why you want to now date me is because I just won the lottery. So I wanted this book to be very clear. I am still very much Tan. And therefore, if somebody is ludicrous and they are crazy enough to send me a message to say, hey, we should hang out more, when they haven't contacted me in 15 years, I need them to know I'm still Tan. Very much Tan.
And you still hurt me then.
Yes.
Okay. We're rapidly running out of time, so I want to make sure we fit in a few things, maybe quick hits, okay? What are some top summer tips that you can offer to our listeners and Facebook Live viewers?
Go for color. Summer, it's so hard to layer because it's obviously so hot. And so if you want to add that point of interest, go for color. Everybody knows me for print. I love a print. But if you really want to stay on trend and be really, really trendy, sheer is huge. Sheer. Apparently, I was saying that in a way that people didn't understand earlier on. So, sheer.
Well, here in Boston, you can say sheer.
Sheer. Hello. Oh, my gosh. I can do the Boston accent. Who knew? Wear something under it because that's very daring if you don't. But sheer options are always wonderful. And then also avoid flip-flops, please.
So why do you hate flip-flops and Crocs so much?
Crocs, well, because Crocs. And flip-flops, unless you're on a beach or by a pool, they just don't. They're so unsightly. They're so, and they are telling the world you've made no effort.
But they can be comfortable.
They are. You're right. Until somebody stands on the back, and they are the most painful thing you will ever experience. And if you wear flip flops, I hope that happens so you're reminded why they are a very bad choice.
All right, two more quick questions for you here. You had no TV hosting experience before Queer Eye.
No.
And you're doing great.
Thank you.
But for all those folks out there listening who might have dreams of grandeur, what's your message to them?
Don't be desperate. That's how I got my job, because I didn't really think I needed it or wanted it. And then once you've got it, learn as much as you can as quickly as physically possible. I was trying to quit the job for the first few weeks because I thought that I sucked so hard at it. And then I realized it was just because I didn't understand what was happening on set every day. So put your pride aside. Don't pretend you know everything and just ask questions to make sure you're the very best host you can be.
Learn.
Yes.
Okay. One other thing I want to do. It's something that Mama RuPaul does from time to time on her show.
Uh-huh.
She holds up a picture. So I'm going to hold up a picture. Here's a picture of young Tan.
Yeah.
Circa age 7.
Yeah.
What would you say to that little Tan today?
That little Tan today, I would say you continue crossing your legs as much as you want, young man, and don't let anybody tell you that you've got to butch it up.
That's Tan France. He's one of the 5 fabulous stars of Netflix's Queer Eye. He's out with a new memoir, Naturally Tan, and he's in town for a sold-out Harvard Bookstore event. There's more information about the book at our website, radioboston.org. Tan France, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
I really
you so much
appreciate
for having
it.
Me. Thank you.
Thank you.